Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Crog Policy Board. I'd like to call to order this regular meeting of Wednesday, January 22nd, 2025. It's 12:02 p.m. We have a quorum. I would like to open it up for public comment. I'll ask once, open it up for public comment, asking twice. For a third time, seeing and hearing none, closing the public comment section of the meeting. I'd like to move on to the approval of the minutes of the December 18th, 2024 meeting. Looking for a motion and a second to approve those minutes.
So move,
So
Chris
move.
Edge.
Second, Lori Spielman.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Lori. Any questions or comments on those minutes? Seeing and hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are passed. Thank you all. Sorry for my sickness today. Lori, I promise I won't leave it on you. I think I'm here.
Thanks.
We're gonna move our presentations up to the beginning. Matt, I'll turn it over to you to introduce John McAvoy.
Thank you so much, Mayor, and we appreciate your dedication for attending today's meeting, and welcome to you all. So today we have two presentations. First of all, we're very pleased to welcome John McAvoy, who is the new Connecticut Division Administrator for the Federal Highway Administration. And as you all know, we work very closely with FHWA. It's the federal agency that we work the closest with. So very pleased to welcome John in his new role. And I know John had a chance to meet with our Transportation Committee yesterday. John, we're pleased to welcome you. Turning the floor over to you.
Thank you, Mayor Hart. I'm very honored and excited to be here. First, let me share a little bit about me. If you don't know, I'm an East Hartford kid. So I am very well familiar with the workings of CROG and spent my whole life in East Hartford until I got married. I married a nice Tallinn girl, so and then we moved to Coventry. So how about that? Penny High School to UConn to working as a consultant in engineering in the greater Hartford area, and then joining Federal Highway about 25 years ago in the Connecticut Division office. When I was in the division office, I was able to work on some awesome projects. The Quinnipiac River Bridge, the Pearl Harbor Memorial Bridge in Haven was one of the biggest ones I worked on. And from that experience, I was able to become the project manager for the relocation of Interstate 195 in Providence, Rhode Island. So if you ever spent any time going through Rhode Island or on the way to Cape Cod, going through Providence, that new tide arch bridge that carries 195 over, I guess it's at that point, it's the Providence River. That was my project. And from there, I took a little time out of the region. I went out to the West Coast to Portland, Oregon, and worked on the Columbia River Crossing project. And for those of you that may find this interesting, Portland, Oregon has an MPO that is a full-time elected position. So all the commissioners of the Portland MPO called Metro are elected positions and full-time paid staff positions. So if you're ever looking to make a career doing this full-time, Portland is your place. From there, I went into headquarters with Federal Highway as a consultant services program manager. I've done there that for about the last 10 years, and then just this past August, I was selected as the division administrator for the Connect Division office. Returning to the place where I started, and also returning to the place where my father was the financial manager for almost 40 years. So a nice full circle of life, I guess. Again, thank you for having me here today to discuss opportunities to enhance transportation across Greater Hartford and the Capital Region. As I mentioned, that over 35 years in the transportation sector, I've dedicated my life to fostering innovative partnerships and delivering impactful projects like the ones I just mentioned. I'm excited to explore how we can work together to strengthen our region's mobility and infrastructure. The Capital Region is Council of Governments plays a pivotal role as an MPO, ensuring transportation planning is comprehensive, cooperative, and continuing. And aligning with this mission, the Federal Highway Administration brings our national expertise and resources to help local and state agencies achieve their goals while navigating, let's face it, can be sometimes Byzantine federal requirements and federal regulations. And we can do that efficiently by working together. Together, we have a unique opportunity to maximize the transportation, our transformative funding of the bipartisan infrastructure law, investing in sustainable, equitable, and innovative solutions for the Capital Region. Since that law was signed by President Biden 3 years ago, over $110 billion have been distributed out to states and to MPOs just like this one. I envision our partnership to be focusing on three key areas. First, enhancing safety, working towards a future where all people move safely across America. We all have seen the numbers for fatalities on our nation's highways. And the question I get asked, well, what's the right number? You know, and the answer is too hard to comprehend. How about this? How about I ask this question? What's the right number for this room? What's the right number for this phone call? How many people today deserve that are hearing my voice today deserve to go home at the end of the meeting? That's the right number for fatalities on America's highways. Second, streamlining project delivery by leveraging in-house and consultant expertise with Federal Highways technical assistance to address challenges early and efficiently. And finally, prioritizing innovation, embracing smart technologies and forward-thinking solutions that enhance mobility while addressing congestion and, of course, environmental impacts. The Capital Region has the talent. You have the vision. You have the resources to set a benchmark for transportation excellence. Let's continue building a legacy of infrastructure that connects, uplifts, and sustains our communities for generations to come. It's truly an honor and a privilege to be the division administrator here in Connecticut. As I said, it's a full circle for my family. I thank you for your time this afternoon. Thank you for your dedication to this mission. And I look forward to collaborating with each one of you to make it a reality. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. We're very pleased to welcome you home, and your priorities certainly resonate with us. I imagine our members have a couple questions for you, and I'll lead off. I know something that's on the top of everyone's mind is what's going to happen with the grants that we've been awarded, whether it's under the bipartisan infrastructure law, the IRA, and related programs. So I imagine you're still sorting that all out, but is there anything you can tell us today?
So you start with softballs. I do appreciate that. Great question. But in all honesty, this is my sixth change in administration, and every single time there's a change in administration, there are new priorities that get illustrated by the new administration, and this time it's no different. The previous administration worked out a bipartisan infrastructure law that has been very well received by all of America. The office right now today is still sorting through the flurry of proclamations, presidential orders, executive orders that came from the president. We're still looking for direction from not only Office of the Secretary of Transportation. As you know, we don't have a named secretary yet. I envision that will be coming in the next couple of days. I know that's a priority for the administration. So we're still figuring out what this means for us. As it stands today, we are working just as we were yesterday and the day before to deliver discretionary programs. When we get further guidance from OST and from OMB, we are going to share them with all our recipients and all our stakeholders. So stay tuned. I expect some significant direction to come sooner rather.
Thank you very much, John. We appreciate that and look forward to, you know, getting more information from you as soon as you have it. So I think Mayor Stewart, we have time for maybe one other question for John, and then we'll move on to our next presentation. I'll be happy to introduce them as well.
Okay, looking for hands. I don't see any popping up. We'll move on to the next back. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you again, John, and welcome. You're certainly welcome to stay for the balance of today's meeting, and we all look forward to working with you and continuing the great relationship we have with the Connecticut Division.
Thank you very much. I'm going to stick around for a little bit if I get called away. Thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to coming back soon.
Excellent. Thank you. So next, we're very pleased to welcome David St. Martin from Frontier Communications, from Frontier, excuse me. David and his colleagues had reached out to us a couple months ago. They wanted to have an opportunity to provide an update on some key initiatives that affect our member towns. I did also alert David to the fact that in the past, some of our members had expressed concern about debris and related issues in the right of way, and asked David to be very proactive in addressing that issue up front in his presentation, which he agreed to do. So, David, we're very pleased to welcome you and your colleagues today as well.
Thank you, Matt. So again, thanks for letting us come in and speak with your Council of Governments. And with me today, I've got my two peer directors, Joe Ferriolo and Steve Crotty. And both of those guys are on the operations side. So they're responsible for service installation, repair, and maintenance, whereas my responsibility is across the entire state for the design and construction of anything outside plant that you would see that belongs to Frontier. So to your tipping me off about that initial question, I appreciate that. And absolutely, if there's any instance at all, we definitely want to know about that, right? Because we've been doing this build for 4 years now, and obviously we're not perfect, but we think we're doing some good work for the customers and consumers and small businesses across Connecticut. But if there's any instances where we're not doing things the way we absolutely should be, reach out to me. We'll give you our names and numbers, and we'll make sure that it gets fixed as soon as are made aware of it. So what we'd like to talk to you today about is, like I said, we've been building Gigabit America for Frontier since 2020. And so we wanted to give you an update on where we're at with that and where we're going next. So if it's okay, I'd like to share a presentation and go through it real quick.
Sounds good, Dave. And Laura can assist with that.
Like I've got permission.
Yeah.
So we'll go there. Let me know when you see it.
Looks good, Dave.
All right. Let me put it in
presentation mode.
Presentation mode, yeah. It's not letting me because.
I mean, I think we could see it fine like this too, Dave.
All right. I'll just scroll through it one at a time, then that's fine. So, real quick, we wanted to talk to you about our build progress since 2020, the differentiator between single family and multi-dwelling units, and then talk about opportunities to partner with your member towns. So, like I said, with me today are Steve and Joe. These contacts will be sharing this deck with you, so you'll all have it when we're done. And so, like I said, if there's any issues or questions with our build, or anything else for that matter, right? So, anything that's poll related, I'm your guy. So if there's, an emergency situation where you can't get through the 800 number, by all means, reach out to me. Anything on the installation side or any customer situations with installs, Joe and Steve are your folks for that. And so we'll give you our names and numbers. You can have them. Again, Frontier, real quickly, as we came out of bankruptcy in 2021, we came out as with a new board of directors, a new vision. We obviously were able to, through bankruptcy, we were able to free up about $10 billion in debt. So our mission was to build Gigabit America with the goal of passing 10 million homes by end of 2025. And so we've been on that track, and Connecticut's been front and center to that build plan, where we've been building and building. We're now past 1 million homes across Connecticut, and we're continuing to build this year as well. Third quarter alone, 381,000 passings in Connecticut. And you know, we've been spending a significant amount of capital in the regions where we do business. You know, and obviously, it's not just enough to build it. We absolutely want to sell it as well. And, you know, our third quarter sales were very, very robust in that arena too. You know, so what are the benefits of our build versus competitors, right? So, you know, because it's a 100% fiber build, 100% passive fiber build, what that means, and the other key term to remember is it's symmetrical. So the speed that you pay for on the download, you also get that with our product on the upload speed, which is different than some of the cable TV offerings. So, you know, we started, and it's scalable without having to rebuild. So when we started this venture back in 2020, our maximum speed was 1 gigabit. Currently, we are offering 7 gigabits as a regular offering to any residential or small business customer that we pass that wants it. And, you know, because it's fiber and it's scalable, you know, we're currently in the lab testing, you know, higher speeds of up to 25 gig. So it's just as time moves on, data is more and more important to more and more folks. We're able to do that. And I say passive because, you know, there's no like our former network when we were AT&T, there's no electronic component in the middle of it. So there's fiber and electronics at our central offices, and then there's electronics at the end user's location. Nothing in the middle. So what that means in the event of a wholesale power outage, as long as both ends of that network have a backup power supply, this network will continue to run. All of our COs have backup power. And, you know, having most residents having been through many, many power outages, most folks now have a backup generator in their home. So as long as that's working, our service will continue to run. So that's the benefit of passive and symmetrical network is the speeds that are superior to cable, both directions up and down. And how does this benefit all of our customers and municipalities? Well, higher quality of life. As we came out of COVID, we found a lot of benefits there. And, you know, as schools went home and nobody could see the doctors, you know, there was a lot of e-learning and a lot of, you know, online visits with your doctors. So our network is superior and allows that to happen seamlessly. One of the other benefits is anybody that's got rental properties, you know, you know, as people move into places and look to relocate, whether it's a home or a business, you know, one of the three things they're looking for now, along with electricity and running water, is a robust broadband connection. So as we penetrate more and more locations, those properties get to be more and more occupied at a higher rate. And then that in turn helps all the municipalities because those property owners are more capable of paying their property taxes, which everyone in this room knows full well is critical to providing all the services you do to your members within your communities. All right. Oh, you want to cover this slide?
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. As Dave introduced me, I'm Director of Operations for the eastern part of Connecticut, which effectively covers majority of the towns here in this COG. So as you look to either engage or your constituents have issues or questions that we can help you with, by all means, feel free to reach out to me and I'll do my best to make sure we care for that. But I'm responsible for some 300 technicians that are out daily in your neighborhoods and communities, taking care of our customers and taking care of our plant. And I partner with Dave and Steve along the rest of the state to handle anything that may come up. So the three of us are here. We're based in Connecticut. We'll continue to be based in Connecticut. And we're committed to working with you guys and your constituents to make sure that we're giving the best possible service and experience that we can. Now, one of the things that we heard years ago, and we wanted to make sure we cared for when we did this build, was serving underserved communities and providing affordable internet coverage. And to that end, as we've built, and Dave talked about our central offices, that's where our switchgear is, that's where our plant is, and everything starts from there and works its way out. And our fiber build was no different. And we've passed typically underserved areas
that were cared for by UVerse or some of the cable companies and whatnot. So over the 1 point plus million folks that we've passed those communities that need access to that fiber. Now, the connectivity program from the government expired, so the subsidies are gone. But our base offering starts at 200 meg, which is, David said, is to up and down a symmetrical service at a $29.99 regular price point. And in some communities, it's actually even less if we have deals with property owners and whatnot. And we go all the way up to 7 gig, which is $299.99. And, you know, that's, you know, we have a broad range. So we have basically something for everybody as it relates to what's going on and what they need. And, you know, as we move forward, and Dave's going to talk about MDUs in, you know, communities, whether it's public housing or private housing, you know, we've got fiber on the street. We're going to need some help connecting to these folks. And that's a little bit more timely involved because we've got to assess inside wiring and whatnot. But all of the build that we've done thus far has been an investment by Frontier into our communities. We've not asked any of the towns, any of the property owners for any contribution to this point. And that's not to say that we wouldn't at some point if there's an area that's a challenge and of a concern for both some of the communities and ourselves, but we've made a significant investment over the last several years, whether it be in the plant itself, whether it's police protection that we've helped keep our folks in the public safe, and we've spent millions of dollars on that and supporting the economies because we've put rooms up in and restaurants that were served. And we want to continue to be good partners. And part of that starts with being in front of you all today, telling you what we're doing, letting you know how to get a hold of us, and listening to what your concerns are. And with that, I'll move over. Dave?
All right. So this is really the where the rubber meets the road here. So like I stated earlier, we passed well over a million homes and small businesses in Connecticut. And that build we're talking about is what we call the SFU or the single family build. And that definition for level setting is that any building with four or less addresses in it was considered single family, and anything with five or more is considered multi-dwelling unit. And the reasons for that are Joe alluded to it a little bit, is that, you know, multi-dwelling units, apartment styles, condos, you know, associations take a little more time to get into. So this build we're talking about is strictly single family. So within your council region, we've passed well over 305,000 homes and small businesses. And we've got plans in place for this year, for 2025, to do just under 20,000 additional locations in your planning region. And so we're working those, we're working every day. And so we'll be continuing to build across your footprint throughout 2025, getting us as close as we can to getting everybody built that was within our budget, obviously. The next phase of our build, obviously, is to cover more and more multi-dwelling units. And that's kind of where we're at today, what we'd like to, you know, talk to you guys about. You know, as far as MDUs are concerned, you know, we've identified well over 200,000 addresses associated with multi-dwelling units. And, you know, each and every town here has a good number of those yourselves, right? Because almost every town probably has a housing authority. And whether that's senior housing or low-income housing, you know, and so we'd like to be able to work with towns and connect those facilities as well. And like Joe stated, you know, it's very rare for us to ask any financial contributions to enable us to complete these. The challenges we have with MDUs are that, you know, a lot of those buildings are older buildings, and because of the high speeds and high data bandwidths that we're pushing, the legacy inside wire that's in a lot of those buildings isn't sufficient enough to support the speeds that we're offering. So we've got to come in and create a fiber drop, fiber path from every unit back to our phone room somewhere within that complex. So generally what our process for that is, you know, we'll reach out, we'll talk to the property owner, secure basically a permission slip, permission to go in and scope it out. It's called the premise access license. It basically allows us to come in, scope out what we need, develop a cost, and then develop a plan. And then we'll present it to the property ownership group saying, here's what we would need to do to be able to support your property. And if there's an agreement there, we'll proceed with the final design and then move on to construction. And that can take as little as, you know, 2 to 3 months, or sometimes even longer, depending on the complexity of the build and, you know, what legal ramifications might be spilling out there. You know, a lot of times with condo associations, the associations don't meet regularly. So if we need to go before a board and it doesn't meet for another 3 months, that could be part of the delay there as well. But our goal is to get as many of those MDUs spoken to and hopefully built as we can. And, you know, if there's any member towns that are interested in reaching out to us regarding multi-dwelling units within your town, by all means, reach out to me and we'll start the process. We've successfully built in a number of towns' housing authorities already. You know, we've worked in Bristol, we're working with New Haven. We've been in conversations with Hartford. Joe, are there any others on mission right off the bat? You're talking to mute, Joe.
Yes, I was. No, I think you covered most of them, and obviously we continue to engage daily. You know, we certainly would love to talk to the folks here, and Mayor Stewart, New Britain certainly has some housing that we would certainly love to participate and support.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be a sales pitch, so let's...
It's not a sales pitch. It's an opportunity to let you know that we're here.
Gentlemen, let's bring it back to why we're here. Absolutely. A lot of our towns are not going to be very well responsive to that. So,
and that's fine. We're not forcing. Yeah, we are not forcing anybody. We're just making it available because there's definitely benefits to it. So that's essentially it. Wanted to bring everybody up to speed with where Frontier is at with our build. And, you know, I'm hearing from Matt that there may have been some instances where we were probably less than better partners. So if there's any of those situations out there still, by all means, reach out to me and I'll make sure that we get those rectified for you. Other than that, I'll entertain any questions you might have.
And, you know, just from a supporting standpoint, if the towns want any specific information as to where our build is and where it's going to go, we're happy to reach out individually and have those opportunities, you know, share those opportunities with you. And Mayor, I apologize if it sounded like a commercial. It did not mean to be.
Thank you, Joe and Dave and Steve. Mayor, I'm not sure I see any hands raised. Actually, I don't.
Nope, I don't see anybody. Sorry. I'm back.
All right, then. Thanks for your time. I appreciate the opportunity to tell you where we're at, what we're doing. And like I said, we'll share this slide deck with you all so you have it for your member towns so that we can get reached out to easily if needed.
Thanks again, Dave and Joe and Steve. We appreciate your time.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to our action items for tonight. We've got an authorizing resolution for an agreement for the Region Stormwater Authority feasibility study. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Eric Anderson, Town of Andover.
Thank you so much. I'm going to turn it over to Heidi, I think, who's going to give us just a little summary of what this is.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. So you may remember last spring we came before you for a resolution to accept funding from the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection to conduct a regional stormwater authority feasibility study. Since then, we finalized the contract with DEEP and then went through a competitive procurement process. We issued an RFQ. We had 5 submittals and interviewed 4 of these submitters. The interview panel included engineers from both Rocky Hill and New Britain. We then conducted 2 interviews with the top 2 rated firms, and Reftalis was the highest rated firm. We asked them to partner with the 2nd highest rated firm, which was CDM Smith. So we are ready to execute a contract and conduct the study.
That's great. Are there any questions or comments on this item? I don't see any hands. I had a second. I don't know if you caught that, Laura. I think Lori seconded it. Any other questions or comments? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. We'll move on to our MPO, our TIP amendments today. They're posted here. Do I have a motion and a second?
This is Jason Townsend. So moved.
Thank you, Jason. Do I have a second?
Second.
Kara, do you want to jump in and give us a quick summary?
Sure. So there are 18 TIP amendments this month, which is more than usual. The good news is 15 of them are projects that this group has seen before. You might recall John Coleman explaining in previous months that some things had gotten moved to an FYI year because we did have a new TIP go into effect in October. So 15 of these are those kind of projects now being reassigned new years. The other three that are actually new, one is congressionally directed funding for a project in Windsor, and the other two are district-wide bridge repair programs. So staff sees no issues, and the Transportation Committee did have a unanimous vote in favor of them as well.
Thanks, Kara. Are there any questions or comments on these? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We're going to move on to our CTDOT safety performance targets. Do I have a motion for this item?
So moved.
Second, Lori Spielman.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Lori. I don't know who's taking this one, Matt.
I'm taking all. So Karen, John wasn't able to be on.
Okay. I'm like, wait, I don't know what to do without John. Sorry, Karen.
No, offense. No problem at all. We are always lost with John as well. So every year we, as the MPO, need to pass safety performance targets. That is a federal requirement. Historically, we have endorsed the same performance measures as the state. That is the recommendation here as well. Again, this was reviewed by the Transportation Committee and unanimously supported.
Thanks, Kara. Any questions or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We'll move on to item 10. Do I have a motion and a second?
So moved, Lori Spielman.
Thank you, Lori.
Second.
Couldn't tell who that was. Was that
Jim Drum?
Thank you, Jim. Go ahead, Kara.
Thank you. And so this is a resolution that would allow Matt to sign a contract related to a PROTECT grant. So that's Promoting Resilient Operations for Transformative, Efficient, and Cost-Saving Transportation. NVCOG is the lead recipient of this award. It was $1.2 million. CROG is a subrecipient. And NVCOG is in the process of getting contracts sorted out, but this project will be assessing and determining vulnerability and risks to transportation infrastructure for these inland cogs. So the resolution to just let Matt sign us up for it officially.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on this item? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Kara.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn it over for staff reports now. Matt? Maybe?
Thanks again, Mayor. It took me a second or two to get my mute button. So a couple things before I dive in here. First of all, those of you who are members of our Personnel and Finance Committee, which is chaired by Mayor Tony Moran from Mansfield, just stay on this Zoom. And we'll immediately convene the meeting following policy board. And then the second item I wanted to touch on is the issue I raised with John McAvoy. I know that, you know, many of us are concerned about the status of federal grants that have been awarded to us in recent years. And I think we We all recognize and respect the fact that President Trump's administration may have a different set of priorities. So trust me, we are doing our best. We are doing our due diligence to ascertain the status of the grants that have been awarded both to CROG and to our member towns. You know, we're actively working on that. We've got a call later today on that topic. So as soon as we receive definitive guidance, we will certainly share that with our members. You know, you will see in my report today, like my reports over the last couple of years, you know, we're going to be announcing various grants and congratulating our towns for those. But I did want to state that up front. You know, we're aware of the issue and we're working on it. So jumping into the report here, very, very pleased to welcome a new member of our team. Glenn Wanaducci. I apologize if I'm pronouncing his name incorrectly, Cheryl, but Glenn is a new contractor with our Department of Public Safety and Homeland Security. And Glenn's going to assist with our training and exercise program. We're expanding our portfolio there. Glenn has a tremendous history with the Capital Region. He recently retired from the South Windsor Police Department and as a commander of our Capital Region Emergency Services team. So very pleased to welcome him. Next item here, wanted to congratulate the Connecticut Department of Transportation for a couple of things. Number one is a grant for $11.6 million from the Federal Railroad Administration to increase service along our Hartford line. You know, it's great news for the Hartford line, which CROG has promoted for a good long time. Also want to congratulate the DOT and the City of Hartford for a $2 million grant that the DOT has received for under the Reconnecting Communities Pilot Program. And this is for the CityLink Reconnecting North Hartford Planning Study. That is the next phase under the Greater Hartford Mobility Study. So congratulations to them. Next, I wanted to thank TJ DeMichelle, our graduate student intern this year, and Elizabeth Sanderson, our bipartisan infrastructure law coordinator, principal program manager, for preparing our annual report for the last fiscal year. This year, we've done something a little bit different. We've prepared it as a story map with an audio play feature as well. So really would ask you to check this out and we would appreciate any feedback that you might have. Next item, want to know if you've subscribed to CROG What? So what's CROG What? You know, I'm sure you've encountered this already. When we talk about our work, oftentimes that's the question we get. CROG What? What's CROG? So we're trying to turn that on its head. And we've prepared a video series. I think we've had three episodes already that explains our work and how we're serving our member towns and our region. So really would encourage you to check this out. I did have a link to episode 2, which is about the bipartisan infrastructure law here. I want to thank our talented communications staff, Aaliyah Miller, our principal communications manager, and Michaela Harris, our communications intern, for their great work on this initiative. And you can subscribe to this series here at this link. Next slide, please. So moving on to talk a little bit about funding opportunities. So CROG is supporting towns with applications for RAISE grants and PROTECT grants. RAISE grants, those are, as many of you know, they're designed to rebuild and repair critical infrastructure such as road and rail. There's some major funding typically that's involved there. Those applications are due on January 30th. And PROTECT is designed to improve resiliency for surface transportation. And earlier in this meeting, you authorized me to execute an agreement for a PROTECT grant that we're participating in. That one is due on January 24th. Also very pleased to announce that FEMA's popular BRIC and FMA grant programs are back. If you're interested in applying, you need to coordinate with DEMAS and submit to FEMA by April 18th. If you have any questions on those or any related grants, do not hesitate to reach out to Elizabeth Sanderson. Next, very pleased to announce that CROG and the Connecticut DOT have opened the second round of TRIP, the Transportation Rural Improvement Program. Think of TRIP like a rural equivalent to LOTSEP. You know, that's the analogy I use. And there's $10 million available for a handful of eligible CROG municipalities. If you're not sure whether or not you would qualify, actually, there are 8 towns in our region. I'll quickly read them. Andover, Bolton, Columbia, East Granby, Marlborough, Summers, Tolland, and Wellington are all eligible to apply for TRIP. So please submit your applications to Annika Mayer on our team by 2 o'clock on January 29th. And then lastly, under this category, our Department of Energy and Environmental Protection is seeking proposals to enhance public outdoor recreation amenities under this federal program here. It's the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund's Outdoor Recreation and Legacy Partnership Program. Applications are due. There are 2 rounds, either April 1 or September 1st of this year. And there's a link here where you can learn more about this grant opportunity. Next slide, please, Laura. A couple project updates for you. We're advancing our work on our Regional Transportation Safety Plan, which is funded by the Safe Streets for All grant CROG received a couple of years ago. We are conducting a survey here for members of the public. We would also like members of the policy board to take this survey. So we've got a link, and this will help inform the preparation of the plan and our public outreach component. Next, very pleased to announce that we recently held a project kickoff meeting for our Priority Pathways project, and that's a study to identify and prioritize regionally significant bicycle and pedestrian routes, and how can we connect more of our communities to the East Coast Greenway and other major multi-use trails in our region. I want to thank Mike Cipriano, who's the project manager from our team, for doing an excellent job with that kickoff meeting. Next, I'd like to thank Cheryl Assis and Pauline Yoder for the kickoff meeting they recently held for the Deep Recreational Trails grant that we received, where we're going to be acquiring shared equipment to maintain our trails. We are partnering with Glastonbury, Newington, Rocky Hill, Weathersfield, and Riverfront Recapture. So we're excited about this project, and we'll be looking to replicate it for other communities in the years ahead. Next, very, very pleased to announce that our Medical Reserve Corps, the MRC, has received a grant to deliver training for the 25 MRC units across the state. And our MRC has existed since 2003, a good long time, and it really works to provide medical and non-medical support to our local and regional response teams during an emergency. Just a couple more slides here, Mayor. Next, under committee updates, our Municipal Services Committee, chaired by Peter Souza, town manager in Windsor, met last on January 14th. We had a great presentation from Capital Workforce Partners about the American Job Center's subsidized work program. And that work program, it connects job candidates with employment opportunities, and there's a subsidy. There's a subsidy for participating employers. And municipalities can utilize this program as well. So think about how you could sponsor a trainee under this subsidized work program. Also very pleased to announce that with the guidance of the Municipal Services Committee, we are forming an artificial intelligence work group here at CROG because we want to learn more about AI applications for local government. So if you're interested in participating in that initiative, we've got a couple of volunteers already from Municipal Services Committee. Please reach out to Kim Bona on our team. And the committee will meet again on February 11th. Our Human Services Coordinating Council, which is staffed by Robin Nichols from our team, met on December 17th, talked about some important issues facing our region, food security or insecurity, and various related programs and services available to serve our population there. And that council will meet again on March 18th. Really would ask you all to make sure that you have a representative that's attending those meetings. They meet quarterly. Next slide, please. And then I want to close with a couple updates on meetings and events that we have planned. At 10 a.m. on January 23rd, we will be hosting a virtual webinar on Connecticut paid leave. As you probably know, municipalities and school districts may be subject to the law if you know, you all have negotiated that into your collective bargaining agreements. So if you haven't registered yet and you'd like to register, please reach out to Pauline Yoder to do that. Next item, and I've been talking about this one for a little bit, very, very excited that the morning of January 30th, we're going to be hosting a workshop on safety action plans and Vision Zero. We're going to have a panel comprised of our members, New Britain and West Hartford and Manchester and Wethersfield. Should be a really good discussion about how any size community can utilize this approach to improve safety in their community. Next item, another save the date. We are hosting a workshop in collaboration with Connecticut Main Street Center on March 20th. Mayor Stewart, I believe, will be featuring your community prominently at that workshop, 10 years of transit-oriented development and the road ahead. So please visit that link there to register. And last but certainly not least, we're going to hold our next policy board meeting at noon on February 26th. Next month's meeting will be a hybrid meeting, and Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz will be our guest. So that completes my report, Mayor. Happy to take any questions that you or others may have. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. A lengthy report, but lots of good stuff. Thank you guys for all the great work that you're doing. Any questions for Matt? No? All right. You want to go through the correspondence and the handouts before we call it a day? Or a legislative update? I know Donna's not here, or she's listening in, but she's not feeling so hot. We're on the same train here.
I can provide a very quick legislative update, Mayor. And the correspondence, we're very pleased to support the town of Farmington in a RAISE grant application. And I also included a link to our annual report there. So our legislative update, Donna Hamzy Karoche has been doing a great job representing us. We please check out her weekly report that she is submitting to me and that I am forwarding on to our legislative committee. And we'll make sure to include a link for the policy board too. A couple of things of note. Our legislative committee, we are going to hold a special meeting at 3:30 on January 27th. That will be a virtual meeting next Monday, as we want to talk a little bit about preparing a federal agenda. Jason Bowes and I will be headed to DC next month, and we'd like to be able to visit our state delegation with some priorities in hand. And then just quickly, very pleased to see that legislators from within our region have submitted a number of bills that are relevant to our legislative agenda, such as more funding for crumbling foundations. Very, very pleased to see that. More funding to allow DEEP to take better care of the multi-use trails that it's responsible for in our region. More funding for the local bridge program, which is very, very popular with our member municipalities. There are some good bills related to road safety, such as increased penalties for speeding, reckless driving, et cetera. Some bills related to enhancing local representation on the Connecticut Siting Council that gets at our concerns related to the siting of larger solar installations, battery storage, et cetera. So a lot of good things happening, and we undoubtedly will be testifying in front of our General Assembly's committees over the next month. So I'll stop there, Mayor. And if there are any questions about the legislative agenda, one last thing. In this report, Donna did include a handout that lists all of the committees as well as their deadlines. So thanks to Donna for her good work.
I have a quick question, Mark Walter.
Sure thing, Mark.
Has anyone heard any updates on the 100% veteran exemption? Because I just had my assessor tell me we went from 4 vets that used to qualify based on income requirements now up to 20. And some of our more expensive homes might go off our grand list. I might be already at a loss of $3 million in the grand list. So just wonder if that's on the attention of other towns.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. I think Jason's got his hand up. Jason, were you planning to speak to that issue?
Yeah, we're watching that issue too. And one of my state reps is now the chairman of the Veterans Committee. And she told me that will be a fix to that. It's going to be inserted within the next 2 weeks. And that the fix is likely to include 100% permanent disability resulting from active duty service and affect the entire parcel, not just the homestead, but all of the associated property with the resident who is going to be granted the exemption.
Matt, it's Bill Morrison trying to find my hand and I can't raise it. I am also concerned about this. I met with Senator Gordon and requested that he look back into this. Certainly the veterans exemption is important. However, I think it on a state and federal level more important than locally. We also are going to feel this brunt hard in this year's budget.
Now, thank you, Bill. I know that CCM and COST are well aware of the issue as well and have been proactive in terms of addressing it. And as Jason Bowser reported, I think we'll see something soon, but we will monitor it at CROG as well. Thank you for raising it, Mark.
Okay.
Back to you, Mayor, if there are any other questions or comments.
No, I always have a comment, but I'll always... I've got nothing else today, unless you do. If anyone else has anything they'd like to share, opening it up for any type of information sharing. I see no hands. That's great. I'm gonna, any other business? I don't think we have any.
No other business, Mayor.
Fantastic. Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Lori Spielman.
Lori, we're adjourned. The time is 12:54 p.m. Thank you everybody for your time today.
Personal Finance Committee members, 6-minute break and we'll start at 1:00.